to Acts chapter number 20. Go to Acts chapter 20. Yet there's so many doctrinal statements, even of Baptists today, that will pollute salvation with works today. They pollute salvation with works. They add a repentance of sin for salvation today, and it's garbage. It's false doctrine, it's heresy, and it's not getting anybody saved. Anybody that teaches this is teaching a false gospel. Now, what do they turn to? Well, there is no verse that says, repent of your sins. Okay, so they can't turn to that verse. It's not like, well, yeah, you have to repent of your sins. It's like, which verse is that? The only English Bible I know of that has that phrase is the New Living Translation, which should be called like the New Luciferian Translation, really. It adds it in there tons of times. But you know what? That's a bad translation, and it's not what the Bible teaches. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 21. The Bible says, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. The Bible often restates things. So when it says repentance towards God, what's equivalent to that? Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's defining repentance for you. He's defining what that repentance looks like or means specifically. If in Acts chapters, 13 through all the way up to this point, every time they're preaching to the Gentiles, they're all worshiping false gods. They all have a false religion. What do you think they probably need to do to go ahead and believe on Jesus? Don't they have to stop believing in their false god? Stop believing in Diana? Stop believing in their false god, whatever it is? Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Hey, that's a carved stone, isn't it? Isn't it interesting that all the idols are carved stones? But what is the salvation? Oh, yeah, it's a whole stone. It's only what God created, isn't it? So you have to get rid of those carved stones and grab a whole stone. And here's the thing. Just because you don't have in your church a picture of Diana, what if your little stone has repent of your sins written on it? It's just as garbage. It's just as wrong, and they have to repent of that stone and get rid of that stone and grab a whole stone. It's either a whole stone, you're either all saved or you're not saved. There's no percentage of, well, I'm kind of saved. No, you're just either saved or not. You either have the right repentance or you don't. And you say, well, what's the right repentance? Flip back and look at chapter 19, verse 4. He'll define for you what repentance is. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which had come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So notice what repentance even means, believing on Jesus Christ in the context of salvation. Now, hey, the word repent can have multiple meanings, just like the word go could have multiple definitions. I'm going to the store, I'm going to the bathroom, right? I mean, go is a word that just could be put in any kind of context, and you could use it however you want. That's the word repent. But every time the word repent is used in relation to salvation, what is it? Stop trusting in whatever you're trusting to get you into heaven that's not Jesus and put it all in what Jesus did. That's all it is. Yet I've looked at a lot of doctrinal statements. This is what they say. Repentance is a persistent turning away from sin. And I didn't say it's turning away, it's persistent. This is from a Baptist church. They say that faith is inseparably united with repentance. Now, here's the thing. Properly defined, I agree. But here's the thing. They define for you what repentance is. What was it? A persistent turning away from sin. That would be a what? Faith plus work salvation. Isn't that what everybody... That's what the Catholics believe. That's what every false religion believes. That it's just faith and towards God and living the best life that you can possibly live, and God will finally get you in there. You ask the Hindu, that's how they get saved. You ask the Muslim, that's how they get saved. You ask the Catholic, that's how they get saved. You ask the Protestant, that's how you get saved. You ask Baptist today, that's what they say. It's sick. It's gross. They're polluting salvation with works today. Look, it has nothing to do with repenting of your sins, and we need preachers to be clear on this issue. Not more confusing. Not having a hewn stone altar and trying to get people to offer sacrifices on the wrong altar. Who cares about every other issue? Honestly. I mean, if you are going to a church with the wrong altar and they're trying to get you to put every sacrifice under the sun on that altar, that's going to profit you nothing. They should be thundering forth the right gospel message. And look, there's so many Baptist churches today that they have this kind of a doctrinal statement. They don't preach on salvation. And if you try to ask them, they get offended and they won't tell you. And it's like, what could be more important? Oh, we got to, brother, we need to worry about more important things like tithing and, you know, church attendance and, you know, the COVID restrictions and what the government's doing, blah, blah. Look, there's nothing more important than the gospel. If you can't give me a clear message on the gospel, bye. Why would I want to even listen to a preacher that's mixing up the gospel, not clear, not thundering it forth, not making it manifest? And look, their view of salvation is a very Calvinistic view when you think about it. A persistent turning away from sin is inseparable with your faith. And they say this is a grace wrought by the Holy Spirit. This inseparable, you know, adding of grace, I'm sorry, of faith and repentance is this grace wrought by the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. Their view of salvation, let me give you my parable, okay, is like riding on a carnival cruise ship. And then singing this song, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Here's the thing. From a Calvinistic viewpoint, you didn't choose to believe. You didn't choose to do the works. It's just all automatic. Just like you getting on that cruise ship, you're not going to do anything to determine where it goes. I mean, that ship's going where you're just along for the ride. Whereas the Bible is like you with a canoe and a paddle. And then it's singing, row, row, row. It's like you either go or nothing happens. And here's the reality. You get saved, and after you get saved, you have the choice to either row or not. Your works are not automatic. You persistently turning away from sin, you have to be like, all right, not going to sin today. You're not just on this carnival cruise ship just like, woo! I'm not sinning. Praise the Lord! I just gave up every sin automatically. The Lord saved me, you know. These guys are fake. They're phony. The Lord saved me from drugs, and he saved me from alcohol, and he saved me from this, and he saved me from that. Look, those guys are just getting on putting up a show, a vain show. They're just like on the little carnival cruise, you know, saying like, woo. But how does that even make sense when the Bible's constantly instructing you to row your boat? It's constantly telling you to give up sin and die daily and crucify the flesh. Like, if it's so automatic, then why do I have so many commandments telling me it's not automatic? That doesn't make very much sense. Why are you giving me, you know, all these instructions on how to go down the stream if I don't even need them? If I don't even have a choice? Now, when it comes to this issue, we should never compromise on this issue. And yet there's a lot of Baptists today that are going to compromise on this issue. And you say, how could a church like us compromise on this issue? I'll tell you exactly how they do it. Friends. Friends. Baptist churches want to be friends with another Baptist. And guess what this Baptist does? He pollutes salvation with works. So they'll get up and they'll say, well, I know that this preacher gets up and says that salvation's repenting of your sins, but he doesn't really mean it. I wish I had a nickel for every time someone told me they don't really mean what they say. I'd have enough to buy a 2x4 by now. What's the point of getting up and preaching things that you don't mean? Go to Matthew chapter 12. What if I sat up here and I built an altar that's all hewn stone and I'm like, this is the type of altar that you need, and then someone comes up and they're like, well, that's not going to do it. God's not going to be pleased with that. Well, that's not what I meant. It's like it's not unclear. It's either you don't grave it or you do. Like, what people that are getting up and saying, oh, you have to repent of your sins to be saved are lying. They're teaching false doctrine. They should be called out. You should separate from these people. You should have nothing to do. But what are the Baptists? They don't want to separate from these people. They don't want to distinguish themselves from these people. So what do? They compromise and they say, oh, well, I know he says that, teaches it, and explains it, but that's not what he meant. What? Why would I get up and try to show you a brick that I've carved and say, this is salvation, but I don't really mean it. Just grab one and don't do anything to it. That doesn't even make sense. How could it make sense? The most important doctrine, I'm confusing. I'm polluting. Look, then why are you a preacher? What's the point? Well, I get up and I teach all kinds of other stuff. Yeah, but if you're putting all kinds of sacrifices on the wrong altar, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters if you have the wrong foundation. Imagine we're going to go ahead and build the most beautiful house on the sand today. Who cares? Because the ocean's just going to come and knock it all down. But did you see the curtains that we put in there? Did you see all the beautiful marble and the tile? And who cares? It's going to get knocked down. You either have the right foundation or nothing. And these preachers that are getting up and being a compromiser and saying, well, yeah, you're attacking good men that are preaching work salvation. Well, they don't wear it that way. You're attacking good men that are confused on repentance. Well, then you're not good. How could you say he's good? How could you say that that's good preaching? How could you say, well, but he puts really good sacrifices on the wrong altar. Have you heard this sermon that's not about salvation that he preaches? It's really good. Yeah, well, what does he teach on salvation? Well, I know it's wrong, but then get away from that person. Have nothing to do with that person. Don't compromise. Why do they want to be friends with this person? Because it's political. And let me tell you what, independent fundamental Baptist churches are political today. You say, what, Republican? No, I'm saying within themselves. They're all buddies of a certain Bible college. They're all buddies with a certain area. They want to be invited to certain conferences. They want to have certain guest preachers come to their church. They want to rub shoulders with the right guys. They want to get recognition. They want to have notoriety. They don't want to have to separate from people. They don't want to ruffle feathers. They don't want people to get mad at them. So they compromise on this issue. Why would you compromise on salvation? Why would you get up and rub shoulders with somebody that's teaching a works-based salvation? You're a compromiser. It's wicked. It makes no sense. Now, hey, maybe there's someone that uses the wrong terminology, and I'm not going to throw them in hell, but they're a bad preacher, period. Don't get up to me and defend me, somebody that's preaching works salvation, and say, this guy is a great preacher, though. Yeah, but he doesn't really mean it when he teaches work salvation. I don't care if he means it or not. What does the Bible say? Because does it really matter what I think? No. It only matters what the Bible says. Okay? So let's ask this question. If I teach something wrong but I don't mean it, does it matter? Okay, well, let's ask. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringing forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringing forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now let me ask this question. Does it say, by what you meant, you shall be justified? And by what you meant, you shall be condemned? Or does it say the words? It's the words. And here's the thing. It's sick how many preachers get up and preach lies and heresy. And they can say, well, that's not what I meant. And people are like, oh, okay, no problem then. Yeah, well, what did you mean? Whatever you want me to mean. I know I taught repent of your sins and that if you're not living a righteous life, then you're not saved. But what I meant by that is it's all by grace. What? Look, I visited other Baptist churches and I've talked to their assistant pastors and other. And this one assistant pastor told me he got up in front of his church and he said, if you don't have works, you're not saved. And he was acting like he was real tough and big. And I'm just thinking, like, I want to just stay away from you. Like, I just want to, before the lightning bolt strikes. Yet, I know all kinds of other Baptists that fall all over themselves to be friends with these people because they're popular, because they have a big YouTube channel, because they have a following, because they're so much more gracious and loving. I'm not going to be gracious towards a works salvation. I'm not going to be loving. Well, you're mean about it. Good. I would hate it for someone to say, you're really nice to people that teach a work salvation. I hope they say, you're the meanest person about it. You're ugly about it. You call people out about it. You make everyone uncomfortable about it. Great! Because the whole world's going to die and go to hell. Because people are compromising on this issue. Because people are not making it clear on this issue. In fact, the majority of the people that we reach or people that come to a church like ours, they were confused on this for a while. They don't want someone to get up and kowtow and be vague or not saying what they mean or getting up and just, well, you know, some people believe, repent of your sins, whatever, you know, it's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal. Get rid of your stupid doctrinal statement. Well, I don't think it's fair that people should be able to call me and ask me what I believe. Aren't you a preacher? What profession are you in? This is like, you know, all those states wherever they're doing these election audits, and they're like, you don't have any right to audit us. And it's like, well, what are you hiding? Why would you not be able to audit? Why would you not want to be able to check these things and ask these things? Look, you know, I don't get mad at somebody asking me what I believe. I want the whole world to hear what I have to say. Amen. Especially on salvation. Why would I think, like, someone's calling me, they want to know about salvation. I don't want to have to tell them that. I thought it was I love to tell the story. How hard is it for you to declare his righteousness? Is that really difficult for you to say? You get really offended when you have to tell people about Jesus Christ, right? Think about it. These preachers, I'm so offended somebody wants to know what I believe about salvation. Is it because you teach a work salvation? Because if you don't, why are you so offended? Why can't you just tell us what you believe? Here's the thing. There's people that just make it clear where they stand, and then there's vague people, okay? All the vague people are trash. And the people that are clear and wrong, they're trash. You know what's good? The people that are clear and right. That's it. Why would I want to be here? And look, riddle me this. Let's find all these people that don't believe wrong on salvation, but they do teach it wrong. Like they're polluting it with repent of your sins, but they somehow believe it right in their heart. Show me all their fruit. Show me all the people that they got saved, that are fired up, serving the Lord, doing great things. Because what I notice is they're not doing great things. What I notice is that basically they're just riding on the coattails of whoever was that gave them a church or whatever Bible college they're riding the coattails of. And these people that are friends that end up befriending these heretics and these false preachers, they also don't have good fruit either. Because when you start compromising on this issue, you're not going to be making waves and changing the world. Look, who's really getting lots of people saved? The people that are super clear, unapologetic, really mean about it. Those are the people that are getting lots of people saved that have lots of fruit. Look, why would I want to sit here and compromise just to be friends with a certain person? Friendship, that's being a respecter of persons. I'm not interested in that kind of person. And notice, I'm basically aligning myself potentially with lots of false prophets that can literally say a work salvation, I'm not going to separate from that person. Just skip back a few verses. Verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, why do you want to pick on this guy for preaching false doctrine? Well, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or make it corrupt. What's the point in being, well, I kind of have some corrupt fruit, but I'm a good tree. What? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know what? You're never going to catch me accidentally preaching work salvation. I'm not going to, you know, I can stumble over my words. I could call David Daniel and Daniel David. I could mix up a name. I could mix up a place. But I'm not going to be like accidentally just like, oh, and by the way, if you don't have works, then you're not going to heaven and you can lose your salvation and the Bible's not real. Oh, I was so nervous up here that I just started preaching heresy. It's like, what? That's what people act like. They're like, well, when you get up there and there's all these people in front of you. Look, when you get really nervous, you know it starts coming out, what's ever really in your heart. Look, when you start getting under pressure, that's why cops put people under pressure and they bring all the pressure and the heat and they're making you nervous because they know the truth will eke out. The truth ekes out when you get up and start preaching. And when you can't ever eke out the right gospel, it's not there. It's funny when I look at preachers and I can tell everything they believe by what I can't find. When I can't find salvation by faith, I can't find a sermon. Look, go look at a preacher. Go find a preacher that you have respect for, that you're not sure where he stands, and find me any sermon where he's preaching clearly on salvation. You're like, well, I can't find one. It's because he's wrong. How could you be saved and there's no gospel presentation, there's no sermon about it, you're just never preaching the right gospel? Well, the few times he did, he taught something wrong. That's because he's wrong. Why would I want to compromise with these people? Here's why they want to compromise them, because they have a beautiful altar. Have you seen that guy's pulpit? Have you seen that guy's church? It's so beautiful. And that pulpit, I mean, it just looks like it came down from heaven, and it's all carved all nice. Yeah, but what is he preaching behind that pulpit? And people just want to go preach for that guy or be that guy's buddy or be that guy's friend. Look, I'm not interested in being friends with compromisers on this issue. You say, well, is that going to cost you friends? I hope so. I don't want to be friends. Anybody that wants to compromise on this issue, just stop being my friend immediately. And you say, well, are you going to call people out for preaching this? I hope so. I hope I have enough courage to call people out if they start compromising and getting weak on this doctrine and weak on this issue. And what is it going to benefit you if I start befriending people that teach repent of your sins but don't mean it? That's just going to make you more weak, you more watered down, you more compromised. It's not going to get anybody saved. It's sick. It's gross. It's disgusting. And what do these compromisers and heretics do? Instead of producing good fruit, they just choke someone else's. You know, there's a lot of people that are quote-unquote new IFB these days, but I know there's a lot of them are compromisers. And you say, which ones? Well, I don't know. They change every week. But you know what I notice about these compromisers? You know what I know about these people that get so offended at calling out somebody who preaches repent of your sins? They don't have any fruit of their own. They're just choking the fruit that was given to them. They have all this fruit from somebody like Pastor Anderson or Pastor Jimenez that are coming into their church that are doing a lot of great works, but they haven't produced any fruit. All they're doing is just choking all the fruit that's in that church by being a compromiser. And why, of all the people to defend on this planet today, why am I going to go fall backwards defending people that are preaching a false gospel? Preaching a works-based salvation. That doesn't even make any sense. Isn't the most important thing getting people saved? Don't we go out and preach the gospel just day after day, week after week, we have so many times all the time where we're going out and trying to make it clear. And who are we fighting against? We're fighting against all the preachers that have been lying to these people and telling them the exact opposite. How could I then say that this guy's my friend when he's literally producing people that I'm going to have to go out and reteach the gospel to? He's not my friend. If you're against me, you're not with me. You're either on my team or you're not. Hey, I don't remember in the Bible where Moses drew a line in the sand and said, well, some people are standing on the wrong side, but that's not where they really want to stand. They didn't mean to stand over there. No, it's like get on the right side or die. Well, that's mean. Look, he's killing the heretics. I haven't killed a single heretic yet, okay? Start calling me mean when I start killing heretics, okay? Well, you preached against them. Oh no. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words hurt way worse. Yeah, but good people leave my church whenever you preach against me. Great. Isn't that wonderful? All the heretics stay with you, and all the good people leave. Look, we should never stop calling people out for this. And look, if my church member calls somebody out for that, I'm not going to be like, why are you attacking great men of God for calling out this guy believing a wrong gospel, for believing a false gospel? And like, well, whose job is it? Is that your job? Well, you know, the Apostle Paul didn't cease to warn night and day. And guess what? He wasn't a pastor. Well, you're not a pastor. You don't get to do it. Should I have said that to Paul? Acts chapter 20, he's like, I cease not to warn night and day. Well, you're not a pastor, Paul, so you don't get to do it. You don't get to warn about anybody. Look, I hope you warn everybody about every false prophet that ever exists. And even if they're saved and mixed up, warn about them. Why would I want to hang out with somebody that's saved and mixed up either? We're supposed to be separated from the world. We're supposed to be different. We're independent. 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 I'm independent of any work salvation, of any false gospel. Don't ask me to compromise. Don't expect me to compromise. And if you want me to be friends with any of these compromisers, just leave now before you get your feelings hurt. All right? Let's close in prayer.